You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Nicole Schmutzer. Nicole, thank you so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you, Brainerd, for this opportunity.
Nicole, I know you're talking to me from a small town, you said, in Switzerland. Before I ask you about your work, can you tell me a little bit about the town that you're living in? I'm always curious how vibrant the arts are there. I know you're near where Basel is, but what is your town like, if you can describe it also in terms of the artist community and its surroundings?
Well, that's a really good question. I actually find myself pretty much in an empty space, and that's for me pretty good. I grew up here. There is not really a vibrant art scene, but even though I had an important primary art education in this little town, which spurred my interest for everything else that was going to come. And this little town, or smaller town than Basel, is close to Basel, therefore quite accessible, and yet it is a little bit on the countryside. Now, in Basel, you do have more activity, but even there, for what my interest was, that wasn't enough either. And as soon as I had finished my studies at university, I chose to spend some time in New York, and that seemed to have been a quite good opposition for my work, for getting into my studio practice, and for being exposed to so much vibrance, to so much visual activity, and just a big, big field of painting that was very important for me and still is. And that's about a good combination, this change between Pratteln and Brooklyn that I have been traveling back and forth for over 25 years.
So to compare the two, I mean, I know New York well, and of course it's very exciting for the arts in New York and all the activity and galleries. How does that compare to the town you're in terms of your practice? Sometimes I hear in, you know, New York, studios are of course smaller and people sometimes work smaller or their work changes. Do you find the working in the studio in Switzerland as opposed to New York is really different in terms of the kind of work you're making there?
I found that the change from one place to the other was really helpful for me and for the kind of background that I've had. The studio that I'm using here is bigger, so I have much more space. It's more of a permanent situation, as about everything in Switzerland, I guess, is more on a long-term basis. Whereas in New York, you never know what happens the next day. So that gives you already, to begin with, a different internal rhythm. But by going back and forth, I also had a rhythm going that was based on a three-month rhythm, spending 3 months in Switzerland and being kind of pressed for time and starting a series of work, which after a while I would get tired of looking at, or sometimes not finding results or solutions immediately. And by having the opportunity to go to this other world, I would start with fresh eyes, start almost from zero, but I would actually continue on the work I had started over there. So I would bring over solutions from Switzerland into New York, or having new insights, having new influences, especially because I could refresh my eyes and the energies of being somewhere else. And that turned out to be a good rhythm. And it was intense to maintain it. And now I'm a little bit more geared to going with projects, and that's a little bit the reason why I'm here in Switzerland for a longer time, as I'm preparing something bigger.
So let's talk about that. What are you preparing now, this project that you're talking about? What does that mean to you, if we can talk about that what you're preparing
for? It is
it's
a project that I'm doing together with one musician in particular, and then several musicians. And it's dealing with a side product of my painting work. Now I have to go back into my painting, saying that the way I have been working is with a lot of fluid paint, a lot of liquid that dries on the surface of a canvas and takes its time, where I interact layer after layer into and onto the composition. And while I was observing this process, this very organic process, I started recording the effects of what the paint can do, what the fluidity provokes, what kind of happenings emerge between one color and another, or between the material of the color with the canvas or with the liquid that I'm using to dilute. And all this has entered my camcorder, and then I started playing with this in a video program, layering the paint or the clips as if I were layering a painting with pigments. And I'm using now this kind of side effect to create something that is not only more visible in an open public space, but also something that can interact with musical compositions. And here with this musician from this town that I'm working with, we send our composition back and forth. I receive his composition, he receives mine, and so we work towards...
So tell me a little bit about that before you tell more about that. When he sends his composition and you send yours, I mean, I love that. Exactly how does that happen? The music starts first, he sends you a recording, and then you respond to that recording?
Well, the way it started was that he had seen my work, and it immediately made him feel that I'm doing something that he has been working on and thinking about for a long time in his music. The way he talked about it would make very much sense to me, and therefore we started this collaboration. And he has been telling me what he's going to do with his guitar, how he's going to play, what kind of sense he has for the quality of sound. And he started recording certain things, and I had already certain clips ready. And now we do compose exchange these results that we have. And the results, they are just intermediary results. We just send them back and forth and get together and show each other the material and discuss of how things develop a narrative and how this composition should feel like and how it should be visible.
And the composition, of course, means what in terms of both of you, because there's your imagery, your paintings, which we can talk more directly about, and the music. Mm-hmm. Are they meant to be presented together? Is that how you're both thinking about this, that these would be in an exhibition together?
It will be projected onto the castle wall of this town here, on the exterior wall, and the music will be heard together with the visuals that can be seen on the wall on a large projection. And on the inside, we will have different concerts and as well a projection together with my paintings that will be shown in different spaces in the inside of the castle.
That's so interesting. So to talk a little bit just about your paintings, how are you approaching those now? I mean, there's of course the collaboration, which is exciting to hear. Has that changed? Can we talk a little bit about the content and how you're approaching these? These are of course abstract images. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. My work is not necessarily changing for this project now, because I work on such a slow mode and on many paintings at the same time. They take a lot of layering. They require their own time, and I have never really been working just for an exhibition. I work continuously, and out of this daily interaction, the work evolves. And I think it always has had a relationship to music in some ways, because it has been for me a way to refer to abstraction altogether. I had been always interested in developing this field where you have color, movement, a certain tonality, a certain mode. But actually, I became interested in abstraction very early on, around the age of 15, 16, and was just wondering how I could develop this field. As I didn't really know how to approach it, and there was nobody who could give me a hint, it was music I was referring to. So in a way, that has always been on my mind when I tried to imagine what I would like to achieve in a painting. And visually speaking, what my paintings are about, it's a complexity of spaces, of paint, of color, of movements that interact and that let you enter and discover multiple spaces. With this complexity, I was also looking for an impression that would be light in weight, something more like watercolor, not heavy, yet very, very deep, alluding to deep space, like a lot of layering of different textures and qualities, transitions, images that would be clear and yet somewhere in between a presence and something that would just emerge from a creative process and yet be determined. And this has been, over a long time, my goal, and it is just developing itself, depending a little bit on how paint reacts and how I prepare the ground and what other influences are coming into. So it's a natural process, and it also develops naturally.
In your paintings, which are very beautiful, as you were saying, there's you're moving almost towards watercolor, but of course they're not watercolor. What are the materials you're using in the ground? Because it seems like there's something very unusual happening there, especially with these beautiful effects that you're getting.
Mm-hmm. I use a traditional chalk ground, and then the color is oil paint that I thin down very much, and in combination with shellac ink. So it's not the acrylic ink, it's shellac that I dilute with a lot of water. Now, the process can be, I start either with a layer of oil paint or a layer of shellac ink, and then it just continues, and there are many layers added up, and somehow because the oil paint is very, very much thinned down, it does work together.
That's fascinating. So this is a technique you've developed over the years, and to speak also to the content of these, though they're abstract, they're not narrative. Is there any kind of, I guess I can say, tone or different feelings to them that you're aware of making, or do you not approach it that way? In other words, some paintings, of course, depending on the palette, can be darker in tone, in message, or something else. I mean, to be kind of simplistic, is there something you're going after in terms of a tone or content?
Well, the content, yes, is a very abstract image that should also speak of its process, where it's emerging out of a tension between chance and control, curiosity and expectation, and experiment and experience. All this speaking actually of an imagination of a universe where I have associations, but they are not narrative. They are not really of something specific. It's more a field of a sensation, something that makes your, hopefully, the mind of a spectator, or my mind at least, go and want to explore more, to develop certain ideas, or opening up certain dimensions that I'm not thinking about in the first place. It is.
That's well said. But yeah, go on. But it is what?
It is something that when I see what comes out, it looks obvious, but it's so difficult to imagine in the first place. And it's not something that I do imagine in the first place. I start more with a sensation of certain characteristics of what the paint could be doing. But this is just a starting point for a first layer. And I do have a general idea of wanting to keep something very light, but then I have to give it over to the painting itself. If for some reason something else happens, I have to adjust and postpone this idea of a sensation to a next painting. I do go along with the development.
Well, I want to wish you success on the upcoming show. I wish I could see that. Perhaps there'll be links in here, so if people are in Switzerland, if they're near your town, they can come see those projections in that show, which really sounds exciting. And I want to ask you one more question, which is, what are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious.
There's the one book right now of Sebastian Smee speaking about friendships between different painters. There's Matisse and Picasso, Manet and Degas, Pollock and de Kooning, and Freud and Bacon. And it's an interesting book because the personalities are really well designed, or well described, almost as if the writer had known the persons. And it's very insightful on a psychological level. That's the current book, and I always have in mind also a few others that I would like to mention, because they stick with me. One of those is an Indian mathematician, Srinivasi Ramanujan, who wrote about the infinity, himself being a scientist. He's fascinating because he has had this sense of the visionary sense, which then is described in that book as an exploration of finding the scientific theory in the background to what he already felt or had seen. So here I'm speaking of what fascinates me, which is people who have a vision and who pursue it, be it in science or be it in different fields, like people who have started collecting art, like the Menil family. That has been another interesting book that I could recommend to people.
Like,
it's interesting
so
to see it's interesting to see what vision can do and how much it still can be sensed when you read these kind of things.
Nicole, I want to thank you for your time today and wish you well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brainerd. Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.